Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, world's latest post covering finance and property news. And it's Monday and Edwin is back. Hi, Edwin, how are you doing?
A little bit frustrated with all this IT stuff, Martin. I'm glad you're the driver and not me.
Yeah, we're doing the steam-powered version today, and we couldn't get the right version of the file across to me. So I'm sharing his screen, so it might be a little bit clunky, but we'll get there anyway. But before we get into that, I mean, it is actually just fascinating what's going on. If you actually look at the, you know, the news and things today, I thought it was quite fascinating that, for example, we've now got Albo in the, in the doldrums at Pollwise, right? It's quite fascinating, you know, they're losing their lead. Things are falling off the wagon a bit, which I thought was quite interesting. And interesting, Edwin, also, I don't know whether you saw this one, but I thought this was quite fascinating too, that the services inflation, which is the sticky part, is still hanging around rather high numbers. So whilst all this talk about interest rate cuts are sort of whizzing around, the truth is it's a little bit different than many people would want to see. This is sticky inflation. This is to do with wages. So it's likely to be around for quite a lot longer. And just, I can't resist bringing this up. Have you seen this one? This was the New South Wales government now failed to meet the deadline for infrastructure planning for the Appin estate. So they're planning to build a lot of new properties around in southwest Sydney, but they've got no infrastructure. Again, I mean, these are all linked, right? No wonder poor old Albo's up against it. We are in crazy, crazy times. And actually, if you think back over the year, it's been crazy for quite a lot of the time, hasn't it?
Well, but it has. But then, look, we're going back to what you and I were talking 3-4 years ago when we put out that that rant about all roads leading to Sydney. There's really no interest in building any infrastructure out west.
Yep.
But it's when you think about it. If you allow me to put my conspiracy theory cap on, I mean, it's all geared to control the population, right? And it's all geared to push everybody to the high rise, cities and the high rise commercial centres, commercial hubs. I mean, the commercial sector is on its knees, and they have to by hook or by crook, they have to push the traffic into the commercial hubs. So if they were really interested in decentralizing Sydney, you only have to look back at Rand's plan of building the second city over the mountains in and around Orange and that back, I think it was in the 80s. So If there was a real plan, but for one reason or another, I mean, yeah, how far does it all go back to really wanting to corral us into this basin, into the Sydney basin, where we're going to be controlled and we're going to be living, or the majority of the population are going to be living in high rise shitty developments that keep on building that we can't really build. That are going to only cankered with issues ongoing. So, as I said, I look back as early as 3 or so years ago when we said, we bought out that podcast, that rant, all roads lead to Sydney.
Yep.
And I've been speaking about it for how long now? Even just before we shared it on the, because you can see it. It's looking at. Growing up in Sydney, looking at what they're doing, looking at the demographic changes in different LGAs, and what they build. I mean, for God's sake, they get hot to trot with wanting to build Colosseums, as I call them, wanting to build stadiums and recreational facilities. Why? Just to keep the masses entertained, right? That's, you look at the Roman Empire, they did the same shit. Yeah, keep them entertained and, and booyah.
Yeah, bread and circuses, right? So that's, just, and the point about all this, Edwin, is that it's a huge sort of series of distractions, right? And I've mentioned before this idea of announceable. So basically they say things, but it really doesn't make any difference, right? Well, I think that some people are now beginning to see through that, and that's why I think the polls are so weak. But the consequences for real people, this is what I get really hot under the collar about, right? People are being corralled into smaller and smaller properties, be they very small plots on which they've built, or be they, high-rise dog boxes, as it were. From a quality of life perspective, it's being degraded so fast. And if you then want to drive around, of course, with no infrastructure, it means that the travel speeds are actually slower than they were 100 years ago in many parts of Sydney now, and other parts of the country too. I think we've lost the plot. And for people trying to get around and do the things they want to do, it's getting harder and harder. It's nuts, but, the die is being cast.
Yeah, and you can't even say that there's an alternative in regards to transport. There is really no alternative. We're a society that we rely on, at worst, that one car per household. At best, you get three or four. Everybody wants to drive. But the thing is, you could push people to wanting to catch public transport. But you try and catch public transport on a Saturday evening or even a Sunday, in peak hour. I mean, it's a shame. This is. But look, it's all orchestrated. The other thing, the other side to that coin with regards to the polls, the question is also, Martin, is the other side any better? are they any better? Who are they going to lean on? Who's? I mean, look, we're headed for, we've walked right into. This is what a lot of people haven't realized as yet, because the cost to build hasn't hit their back pocket yet, just yet, hasn't hit the wallet yet. But the cost to build or to renovate is going to continue to increase. Don't forget, BASICs just came in. And that's kind of, we said at the beginning of the year when we talked about BASICs and the National Construction Code, we spoke late last year, early this year. We've been talking about it. We've been making our followers and our viewers aware. So if they had it, that if they wanted to do anything, if they wanted to finish constructing their home, or if they were wanting to do a renovation, we said do it quickly, because there's going to be an increase in cost. And so that's all we get. Why are we headed in that direction? It's because the powers to be globally want us to head to this new green deal. But all it's doing is putting green dollars in the back pockets of the politicians that push this shit. So look, I mean, all within reason. I'm not totally against change and progress, but when it goes against when it fully goes against the grain, and we're going to be putting in, we're going to be building all these green energy. That's really, it's going to be wait and see what happens in Melbourne with regards to them leaning more to the green energy. But when you translate all that back to what's happening with property, this is why I keep on saying on Twitter, on other social media posts, when I talk to clients, when I talk to other groups and other on different platforms, and that is that with investors pulling out of Melbourne, and they're pulling out in the droves. What's to come of Melbourne as the population keeps on increasing? Right, you've got, and it's really, unless the investors look at something positive to look into Melbourne to invest in property, it's only going to get worse for the rental market down there, because you know investors are pulling out. And look, the people that are going to be buying a lot of, or that are buying a lot of these investment properties that are going on the market down in Melbourne, from what I'm hearing and I've been told, are the owner occupiers or young people that wanting to get in. So there is a certain population that won't be able to afford to buy because of the nature of the income or lack of income. So there'll always be this rental pool, and unfortunately the properties to cater for this rental pool keep on shrinking, the numbers keep on shrinking, but the rental pool keeps on increasing, and this is the ludicrousy that's happening down there. But it's going to be a wait and see. That's what I keep on saying, Martin, that for me, we'll talk a little bit more in the month with regards to the numbers and everything else as to how it's all gravitating and coming back to Sydney, it's a tale of two worlds at the moment between Melbourne and Sydney. But the mainstream media keep on pushing the fact that Sydney's numbers are performing just as much as Melbourne's. I can't see it. I can't see it. I really can't. Not on the years of collecting data from Domain, not on the chatter on the ground with the real estate agents on the ground or on the phone or the different networks that we get our information from. We just can't see it, and this is where people have got to be extra careful moving into 2024, particularly in Sydney, because the numbers are looking very, very scary. So I don't know, like I said, we said the fix was in 2019, and regardless who came into power, it was going to be the same. We could argue till the cows come home whether or not the Libs were going to be any better. I don't think so, because the fix was in, and they may have pushed a few other things here and there, but who knows? But look, at the end of the day, it's the left and the right wing are the same vulture, and the ones that suffer are the people that are battling on and trying to survive on a week by week or month by month basis, and life keeps on getting more expensive.
Well, spot on. And with regard to life being more expensive, the thing that a lot of people are now beginning to wake up to are these frozen tax limits. So the tax limits have been frozen for forever, and of course with inflation and wages growth, driving up, what's happening is that people are paying a greater proportion than ever before now of their tax back to the government. So that's another reason. In fact, if you look back at some of the charts, you can see that over the last few years, on average, the costs have gone up more if you look at net disposable income because of the tax take going up, and even interest rate rises. It's quite astonishing when you actually stop and think about it. So the structure of the economy is designed to effectively make people poorer. And the point about that is that over time, the cumulative effect of these tax take rises, as well as the other cost of living rises, and of course the interest rate rises, means that people are poorer and poorer. Now, there are some people doing it fine, but there are a lot who aren't. And that's the overlay that I don't think the politicians want to recognise, that in fact we are poorer as a society, from an economic perspective, but also from a social perspective because of this issue with the congestion and the difficulty of finding anywhere to live. I was talking to a couple of people through my one-on-ones over the last few days who are desperate to try and find somewhere to live to get out of the rental market. But in both cases, the rental market, which continues to go up, was still a more attractive proposition than trying to buy anywhere, because if you bought, you'd have to go and live further out. And if you live further out, you've then got huge demands for additional transport, because you need two or three cars if you're going to be living further out, because there's no infrastructure. So they actually did the sums, which is kudos to both of the people I spoke with. They've done the sums, and it works out even more expensive. So you're damned if you stay in the rental sector, and you're damned also if you try to buy, because you can only buy a long way out to try and meet the price hurdles. And you know, the other alternative was to buy a small high rise closer in, but that didn't have enough in the way of accommodation. And coming back to the Sydney Melbourne thing, this is quite interesting. I don't know whether you saw the ABS release their latest data sets in terms of interstate migration, and guess what? Queensland is still the net beneficiary of a lot of migration from particularly Melbourne, but also a bit from Sydney. So their migration is still quite high. Interstate migration, people coming in, so the net migration from overseas comes in predominantly into Sydney first and then spills out into the other areas. So there's a different dynamic in terms of demand and supply, Melbourne versus Sydney. And the other thing I did was to look at the net investment returns. So this is net after all the costs of managing property, as well as, you know, the gross, which is misleading. And in the Melbourne area now, the net returns are 60% negative. So I've actually got some mapping, which I'll make a separate show about, because it's quite complicated to tell the story. But in the investment scene in Melbourne, there are more people now losing than winning on a cash flow basis. And with little expectation, I think, of significant property price growth over the next little while, particularly in Melbourne, you can see why investors are jumping ship, which is right back to what you said about the WeChat chatters some time ago.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this is these are the things that a lot of people don't seem to understand. A lot of economists or property commentators don't understand how as you say, an announceable could change and shift the market very quickly. But look, people that are investing in a property, and a lot of the people and a lot of the groups that we follow, are obviously people that have developed a huge appetite to get into the property rent, because they themselves saw the shortages that we saw years ago that we started talking about. And as a matter of fact, a lot of these people were reading on Tencent and the Chinese platforms. We're reading stuff that was put out on DFA on Walk the World. So look, they're not silly. They're not silly. And whilst we have very small numbers on market, whilst we have very small numbers in way of available for either rent or to buy. You could say whatever you want to say about historical references to historical events and historical economic events and this and that. But at the end of the day, whilst the numbers tell a bigger story, the numbers on market are telling a much bigger story. Hence, what we've seen in the predictions that Dusty and I put out earlier this year. We said if numbers keep on going, stay low, well, then obviously the prices were going to increase. It's supply and demand. The demand got greater, and more to the point, the greater demand that was pulled in from once the borders were opened up and the new arrivals came in en masse, and that just put another spin. And as you said, the majority come to Sydney, and then from Sydney are dispersed into other areas. But once they start looking at the different areas, such as like your Melbournes and your Queenslands, you've also got to understand the psychology or the culture that these people, that the migrants are coming from, and what is in demand as to where they're going to live, because in order to subsidize their existence, in order to subsidize whether they're coming for study, whether they're coming to work, or whether they come to find work, or no matter how they've come in, they've got to subsidize their lifestyle as well. So this is why I speak about the WeChat chatterers, I speak about the Silent Tigers, I speak about the new kids on the block, the Vietnamese new money, because they, you know, Sydney caters very well for the way that they that they live, the way that they earn extra money, the way that they earn a living, and the way that that they can basically accept they can accept living in a room for a period of time with a with an entire family, in order to save, and then in 3, 6, 12 months. Save enough to then to venture out on the run on top of the money that they bought in. So this these are the things that a lot of the commentators and a lot of the economists don't understand. They don't know, because they just look at percentages. They look at percentages, and historically they look at the migrants that had come in. Historically, the majority didn't come in with a lot of money. Whereas this tranche of migrants, have come in with a lot of money and with mandates from the family abroad to, they've pulled in a lot of money, in order to start a new lifestyle here, have a new beginning, here in Australia by hook or by crook. Sooner than later, they'll bring the extended family over. But again, you and I, we spoke about what the WeChat chatterers were telling us late 2022, November 2022, when we said what the government had done to extended the facility for students that came in and graduated, got the BA or got a doctorate or got a master's, and they extended the tenure, the working tenure after they graduated from a university. They doubled the tenure that they could stay back and work, all for what reason? All for that reason of obtaining PR. And it's only now that the mainstream media are talking about it, or pundits are talking and saying, "Oh, well, what's going on? What's going on?" You know, I just feel like writing back and saying, "Listen, guys, you should be watching our show, because we spoke about this, November last year, when the chatterers themselves were telling us what were the changes that were happening. This is why I say, Martin, it's all orchestrated." The fix was in. The fix was in years ago, and one could even say that the fix was in decades ago. Because of the reality, as much as we talked about in the early 2000s about decentralizing Sydney, and as much as a lot of the infrastructure went back. Went west, and then in about around 2013 or so, or 2013-15, there was already rumors. CBA went and set up a massive, started talking about setting up a the head office in over in Redfern Way, over in that so closer to the city. So much for decentralization of the Sydney, the Sydney hub. This is the whole thing that we look at, and we try to share with our viewers so that they can have a better understanding of what's coming in 2024, particularly if the numbers continue to trend and track downwards like they have over 2023. With a greater demand than what we experienced in 22. It's numbers. The numbers tell a totally different story to what the mainstream and other commentators are saying on a lot of social media platforms.
So we'll start with last week's for Sydney. You can see there that they were 14,625 if you skip forward, 13,458. So a further fall in Sydney, which I guess to you it will be no surprise.
No, it's the end of the year. Obviously, we said a lot of people have misinterpreted what you and I have been saying. We've said that the retreat just occurred a lot earlier than your seasonal retreating numbers, for the end of the year and in summer. But so that was the first thing. I've never of you know some people have for some reason they're trying to educate me to say that typically at the end of the year numbers retract anyway. Like I haven't been a real as if I didn't know this shit for the last 28 years of being a real estate agent, right?
Yeah, but
So
it happened earlier, surely. That's the whole point, isn't it, Edwin?
that's right. The whole point is that it happened earlier. That's the first main point. The retreat happened earlier, and I believe that it's because of the conflicts that arose abroad, particularly the wars and rumors of wars, and people just started getting a bit edgy. On the second thing was the lack of rental properties for them to transition from one sale to then, if they couldn't find something quickly, then they're going to a rental until they found something as well. So when you don't have a rental to go to or another property to go to in between a purchase, well, you're not going to sell, right? And then you try to, you, then not a lot of people have got the luxury of buying. Because the cost of buying and then getting a bridging loan is horrendous, and you've got to fork that up, fork that up front, and then if it takes you longer to sell or to achieve the price that you want on the sale, well then you're caught between a rock and a hard place, or you're caught between the banks and their interests that they charge. Well, more to the point, you're caught between a two-edged sword in the bank. Pick your poison, death by sword or death by bank. So it's one of those things. So this is where there was the early retreat, just to wait and see. But the numbers, the other point that I've been banging on about is when you compare the listings on market in comparison to 22, for the last 2.5 months, Martin, the mainstream media and your Tom Panos index and every other index out there have been calling and voicing a so-called in new websites that track listing numbers allegedly. That have got 1,000,001 licenses, real estate, they've been real estate agents for 1,001,001 years. It's all bullshit. Because I don't see it. And as much as they can say, oh, well, you're only relying on domain. Well, it's not that I would just rely on domain. Domain just being the go-to website that we chose to track the numbers to share with online and on the podcast, and that's our point of reference. So yeah, the not and look and at the end of the day, it's only a small, very, very small percentage, less than the fingers on one hand, that real estate agents don't use domain to list the properties on. So whatever you find on domain, you find across real estate. It's one of the big differences is that the real estate, the region for real estate and CoreLogic, and for a greater point, Louis, I've spoken to Louis a number of times about it. Even their senior region, engulfs, goes almost all the way down to Wollongong, and all the way to Gosford, which, as far as I'm concerned, it's not part of the Sydney region because they're markets that act totally, totally different, to the majority of the markets in Sydney, in the Sydney region. That's why we've used the domain, the demand in 22 has been greater. Sorry, the demand in 22 was a lot lower, but yet the numbers tracked a lot higher than in 23 when the demand for property to purchase property has been a lot higher, has tracked a lot higher. And on top of everything else that's being lobbed at, yes, we've had interest rate rises, but we've also had close to 600 and something thousand new arrivals, and the majority of which have landed in Sydney. So that's this is what people need to focus on. So when they talk about all these other numbers on a market, I don't know. I don't know where they are. I don't know where they go. One could also use the argument that if new listings have come on the market, right? If new listings have come on the market, they're being absorbed very quickly in terms of the appetite to buy. That's why we're tracking a lot lower when we get our numbers for the Monday rank. So that's the alternative. So again, if you look at either scenario, the demand is very, very high. And if we keep on tracking with these sort of numbers, demand in 24 is even going to get a lot higher once the arrivals for 23 establish themselves. And it'll take them a good 3 to 6 months to decide where they want to live, where they want to, the next 5, 10, 15 years, whatever they want, in what area where they feel comfortable. But 24, could end up being really, really crazy.
Yeah, and you can see here the trend in terms of those listings on domain still coming down. And Edwin, I make the other point that if in fact there had been a huge increase in terms of the transaction throughput, you would expect to see that in the number of settlements going up. But the data that I'm seeing at the moment is not showing that either. So I don't think that the argument of quick settlements is why there are so few listings makes a lot of sense. Now, you've got some other interesting trend data as we skip down. So let's skip down to the next piece, shall we, and have a quick look at that.
Yeah. So you've got there on. I just put a screen from our rant that we did in 2012, 2021. Mm. And if you look at the number of listings on market in the same week, in 21, which is lockdown. Don't forget, we were in lockdown. So, I mean, we were in lockdown. I mean, these were scary numbers in lockdown. And we're tracking the same numbers right now, Martin.
That's astonishing, isn't it?
Because, again, people are reacting. People are reacting to the uncertainty that we're facing on a global scale.
Yep.
That's my view. I feel the turtle that's pulled its head in, it's going to turn into a clam, and if it clams up for 2024, one of the things as we started the show talking about the pressure, the living pressures here in by the locals, right? But the thing is, the people that are buying and are buying into a lot of these areas, they're the new arrivals. And apart from being new arrivals with a lot of money, they're also the people that have been sitting on the sidelines. And you've got what I call, in a cheeky way, I call the wife effect. There are a lot of families out there that are sitting on a lot of money, and their wives are saying to them, "Listen, Buster, you either get me a property, stop your bullshit, and stop your thinking that there's going to be a mortgage cliff, because at the end of that, we get kicked out of a rental property. Where do we go?"
Yep.
So, and there's a lot of money still sitting on the sidelines. So this is why I keep on saying, I look at all these factors. Our team, we look at the WeChat Chatterers, where we've got a new starter in our team that speaks very fluent Vietnamese and very fluent English, we're starting to see and look at the trend and what's happening with these new kids on the block that we've been talking about, the new money that's in Vietnam. So and there's a lot of infrastructure being built in Vietnam at the moment in preparation for an industrial revolution that they're going to have. It's going to be the golden years of Vietnam, like China experienced. The bad thing for our for the Aussies that are trying to get into the market, Martin, is the simple fact that it's easier to take money out of Vietnam than it ever was, or to take money out of China. And that is scary, because there is a tongue load of infrastructure going into Vietnam. Japan just got awarded to build a Japan Gas, or one of these companies got awarded to build the gas pipelines there, and it's going to service and to basically to provide energy for a lot of these newly established manufacturing plants that are being set up by Chinese companies, by American companies. And in the meantime, our politicians here are playing tiddlywinks, talking about wind power and EV cars and all sorts of shit. So and we're losing from an economic point of view. We could have been, we've got great engineers, we've got great thinkers, manpower that could have been used to build the infrastructure, but no, we don't want to get involved with gas, because gas is dangerous, gas is too bad. But I mean, that argument we could get on that bandwagon, and we could all say all sorts of things about it. And I just go back to one point. Look at where natural gas comes from and how it's bought up. And look at where these rare earth minerals come from, and the 5-year-olds and the 6-year-olds that are used to mine those fields, to power your EV. And I'll just stop there.
Well, I've got this idea. Maybe we want a very large cone put over Parliament House in Canberra. Right, because I reckon there's more natural gas created out of there and lots of hot air. I'm sure we could use that to somehow heat the local area and beyond, Sorry, I'm being a bit cynical, but really there's just so much hot air. These issues that you're touching on are really, 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 really important. And yet, we're seeing the politicians just sort of, going around the corners. Let's just look at the numbers in Melbourne. So this is on the 11th, we had 25,424. And if we skip forward, 24,092. So a little bit of a fall, but still a significantly larger number of properties on market. And this is consistent, Edwin, with what I'm seeing in my surveys and through my one-to-ones. There are more people looking to get out of Melbourne. It's consistent and continuing. So maybe no surprise that the listings are quite a lot higher.
Well, and that's 100%, because you look at the number of homes, freestanding homes, right? Yep. You've got 12,083 freestanding homes on market in the Melbourne region. Most of those, I would say that a large percentage of those are your investor properties. Probably 30-40% of those would be your investor properties and people that want to get out of those investments for the reasons that that we were going to talk about if my computer worked properly. We were going to talk about what was just brought forth in Victoria, which is basically that's it. You if your gas stove breaks down, that's it. You can't replace it. You can't get a new gas stove. You got to pay a lot of money to set up induction and the whole bit. But they've forgotten about the fact that the migrants that are coming in to Victoria, the majority want to cook with gas. These are all the things that haven't been thought through, right? Now, and on top of that, we also talked about earlier this year about the changes to that would have the upgrades that would have to occur in your three-story walk-ups, your two-story walk-ups, your three-story walk-ups, and even your older homes, where you've got very low amperage coming into the home. You have to upgrade the mains coming in, so you have to go basically from single phase to three phase. You have to, because a lot of homes have really got two circuits, then you have to go from two circuits to four circuits. That requires an upgrade of your main switchboard. Could be anywhere between, depending on what needs to be done, from $4,000 to $8,000. And then if you got EVs, if you got solar, if you got this, if you got that, if you got a swimming pool, if you got everything else, ducted air conditioning. I mean, the list goes on. And so all these changes have to be made on top of making room for your induction cooktops that pull out a lot of amperage. As we said in the previous show, what I learned earlier this year was that your induction, your new induction cooktops actually pull more amperage than what was allotted when these to each unit in these three-story walk-ups that were built in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. I mean, that's crazy. This is what they haven't thought through. Hence the reason why you've got all these investors. Not only your WeChat chatters, but I'm sure a lot of other people have put two and two together and have said, well, it's going to be hard moving on. And the other thing also, Martin, is there's more traditional markets in Melbourne that don't allow for what your WeChat chatterers do here in Sydney, where they can, because they live locally, they stay locally, they're able to monitor, and they're able to turn a three-bedroom house into a six, seven bedroom budget accommodation property, where each room is each room is rented individually by cash, and they're able to do it. They can't do that in Melbourne. So that's what we're seeing. But it's, again, we go back, look at the numbers. 12,000, just over 12,000 freestanding homes on market in Melbourne, and in Sydney, we're creeping back down to almost 5,000. We're below 5,000. We're creeping down to 5,000. We've got about 3,000 and something rentals on freestanding home rentals on market, which is scary. Which is nothing in comparison to the appetite that is out there for freestanding homes. Hence the reason why you hear in the mainstream media and real estate agents, selling agents and auctioneers beating their chest when they achieve such high results in areas of high demand because of the school catchment areas, because it's got new shiny bench top and new shiny bathrooms and the like. It's crazy.
Absolutely. So it is. And it's interesting, you make the observation of the wiring issues. Of course, there's a broader set of questions about wiring, and so they're having to put more of these high voltage lines across various areas to try and actually join the different generation systems. So take rather than having a big coal, you've now got a more diffuse pattern of generation, including of course some solar and wind, and that's also requiring a significant amount of investment in terms of those high voltage cables too. It's a bit of a mess, and you make a really, really good point. Again, it's something which I've picked up in my one-to-ones. A number of those property investors who've got older properties, who've actually got quite a lot of capital appreciation because they bought them some years ago, they've done the math and are trying to work out what they would need to do to bring it up to modern standard, and it's too expensive. It's too expensive to do that. So what do they do? They say, well, I'm going to get out now. I'm going to basically pull the equity that I've created over the last few years, and I'm going to get out. And that's one of the reasons why we're seeing a lot of property investors, particularly in Melbourne, but in other places too, say, now it's time to get out. And I think we're going to see more of that. All of the things that I'm seeing from my conversations is we are going to see more X investment properties coming on the market. And of course, that's going to reduce the supply into the rental sector, which is going to put more pressure on the migrants coming in as well. So it's pretty, pretty nutty. Let's just briefly look about the auctions, because the auction numbers, well, you know, you'd expect the auction numbers to begin to disappear now as we come up to Christmas.
Yeah, and there's from last week's 735 that we spoke about to this week, we've got 31.
No surprise. So, I mean, basically, the estate agents are off on holiday as well. Everyone's off on holiday for a few weeks. I guess the interesting question is, what will happen in January? You know, will it perk up? Will a lot of stuff come back on the market? I know that some agents do actually have a strategy of deliberately listing directly after Christmas. And in fact, when I listed my property in Thurl last year, we decided that we would put it on market directly after Christmas to sort of pick up the little bit of interest that there might be. And it worked quite well last year, I must say. So it'll be interesting to see whether we get a peak directly after Christmas or whether it's going to stay in the low digits, both from a listings perspective, and then of course auctions take a bit longer to come back on because the campaign needs to start up.
Look, there's I can tell you, I won't tell you what LGA is, but I can tell you that there are two franchise groups that not all offices in the franchise group are participating. But the majority are, and what I know of in one of the offices, well, one of the offices is a McGrath office. They are going hell for leather because they've been losing territory to Stone, Di Jones, Ray White, and they just had a big powwow last week, and they're going out hell for leather, and there's in two LGAs between two LGAs that are currently running each on in terms of listings on market across many sellers, they're currently running about 127 properties for sale. They're they've just as many that are going to bring in on Boxing Day. They're going to flood the market with new listings, and which goes in line with what you're saying, Martin. And who have they convinced? And I was speaking to them, and I was asking them, who have they convinced to sell? The majority are older generation investors that basically want to get out, and they can't. The main story is that they've spun is that they're going to be having to spend a hell of a lot of money, which they will, in order to meet the minimum standards that are required in order for you to have a rental property, through and managed by a licensed real estate property manager. So this is they've gone out with that fear of how much is it going to cost to get your property up to speed, and they've been able to list a lot of properties. Now that's what I've been told, and obviously it's not in just one suburb; it's across three LGAs, we'll see what happens, but that's just in the GAs where they've lost a lot of, as I said, a lot of their territory to Stone Real Estate, Manor, Di Jones, and Ray White. So whether the others do the same, who knows? But overall, though, I can't wait for them to come on because a couple of our clients are looking in those LGAs, so it's going to be good for them. That's what I'm not mentioning. I don't want any more competition than what we already have. But I will share it afterwards when they do list, because then it just becomes public knowledge, right?
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see. And I think we will see a little bit of an uptick in listings in the new year as normal. Let's just quick look at the rentals. So this is as at the 11th of December, and this is for Sydney, 11609. I'll skip forward to the bit later there, 13th, 10624. So the rentals count is down a bit too.
Yeah, look, what did I put there? 12? What's that? 12th of 13th.
I'm trying to work out what the date is there. I guess we might be thinking. Maybe it was the 18th, or maybe I don't know. Maybe, yeah. Listen, this is TARDIS data, right?
Yeah, I become dyslexic today. It's it was just one of those things. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, what the hell? What universe am I? Now that's obviously as of today,
yeah,
which is the 18th of the 12th, 2023. So look, there's been a drop of about 1,000. Listings, which is interesting. But again, it's just people wanting to get over and done with. Are we going to have more listings on market next year? That obviously is going to play a big role from the rental set market. If we have an increase of a rental pool, listings on market, yeah, to cater for the rental pool. Obviously, then the sales listings on market will also increase. As I said, because there'll be the people that sell can have that transition period in between. Whilst we've got low listings, it's harder for people to sell. Other than obviously, if it's an investment property or the like. But the other reason why there's also a contraction or less numbers on is because there are some good property managers out there, and they'll tell the landlords, listen, we're not particularly if the properties that are going to be relet because the tenants have given notice or the landlord's given notice because of the rental increase or whatever the reason. Yeah, they just don't want to be interrupting the tenants over the end of the year, Christmas break, New Year's Eve. So it's that again, the natural retraction of because of the end of the year stuff.
Absolutely. And if we look at the national rentals, this is again from the 11th of December, 45,758. And if we skip forward to whatever date you've put down, the 18th, the 12th, 43,442. So a bit of the same story, as you sort of expect, you know, a little bit of a less activity over the Christmas period, I guess.
Yeah. And like I said, people, there are a big pool of property managers that are conscious in the fact that they don't want to really disturb the lifestyle of the festive season over the Christmas break and New Year. Mm. And it's very hard to get people to attend anyway.
Now, before we go on, you sent me a video earlier on of a home inspection, and I was watching this video before we went on the live show, and I was absolutely horrified.
So there's a lot of issues under this house. A lot of the piers have been sinking over the years. There's been a lot of movement. We've had them repacked, redone. The bearers are not sitting right. And the floor's already sagging in many parts. But above this is a nice, what looks nice, renovated kitchen and bathrooms. But this is where the major works and major concerns are going to be in the future.
This was actually an underfloor view, right, of piers that looks as though they could fall over at any point. And you were making the point that actually, you know, above the waterline, as it were, you know, in the property itself, it might look fine, but those piers told a rather different story.
Yeah, and this is the basically the post that I put up there was summing up the auctions in 2023. It's pay attention to all the shiny new stuff on that's above the floor, and provide a building report, that's being commissioned by the owner of the property, that says very little about the actual condition of the subfloor area. But this is and of course the other thing was price it low, when the entry point just for land value is another, just for land value is another 10%. In my view, there's a lot of work to be done here to the house, but it still has some sort of intrinsic value even as is anyway. So that was the point of sending you that video was, we were going to discuss as to the shenanigans that went on in 2023, and it was actually magnified from what we saw in 21 and 22. Notwithstanding the greater demand that people had, but with the greater demand, you would have thought people wanting to buy into the market in Sydney, you would have thought that none of these shenanigans, or there would be a lot less shenanigans than what we saw. But no, I called it there will be underquoting and everything else. All these shenanigans would be, we'd get a would be magnified in 23, and it does. But why did they do it? Why is it magnified? It's because agents are fighting against each other for that territory space, for that space of where groups are taking over the territory of other franchise groups, and they want to protect their patch. They want to protect the area, so they need the bigger the crowd at the auction, the more the neighbors are going to be, also excited about potentially putting their properties on the market with that agent that just had that auction that pulled in, 30, 40, 50, 60 groups of people, 100 people through the open houses, and there's 12, poor bidders registered on the day. But unfortunately, that lends itself to then forget about doing proper due diligence, because you get bamboozled by the low price, the shiny, the 40 mil 40 millimeter engineered stone bench tops, and your freshly renovated bathrooms. But when you look underneath the house and you see the real condition of it, and it's a mess. You're not going to get much change out of 100,000 to fix that subfloor area from when you look at it from the front to the rear after I inspected it.
And that is the object lesson. You must look beyond the superficiality of, fresh renovations. As we said earlier in the year, cheap renovations often lead just to dress up the property for sale. You've really got to do the due diligence. And I think more than ever, and just to underscore what you said earlier on, Edwin, the costs of getting work done continue to rise. I've had stories now from people over the last few weeks where they've actually ended up paying 20 or 30% more than they expected to pay for significant renovations that they were expecting to do. So the cost of materials, the cost of labor, all those things are continuing to rise. So that's a really important. So you must do your due diligence. Don't get caught up in the rush. Don't get caught up in the enthusiasm because there are more people looking at the property. You've still got to do the work.
Yeah, and with the cost, Martin, it's the red tape that's adding to the cost. Like we said, the basics and trying to decipher the new, the new regulations as to what they really want. And if, yeah, so when you start modifying and adding and one thing is renovating and from a simple point of view, one thing is renovating inside the existing four walls. Another thing is renovating and extending beyond the four walls within. Then you've got to get engineers, architects, DAs, all sorts of things. And this is where those added costs are going to come in, is your professionals to give you to meet the standards based on the new on the new requirements. And BASICS is scary. Absolutely scary when you go through it and what local councils will be demanding of you in order to undertake a renovation above $50,000 on invoice. What you're going to be required to do, it's just going to blow that out to potentially to $70,000-$75,000 for something that you could have done for less than 50 before this new the new regs that have come in. But we've been talking about it. Bob the Builder has been telling us about it and informing us and keeping us abreast of all this, changing how it impacts the how it's going to impact us. We spoke last week about Bob the Builder, what he was telling us with regard to the amount of completions. I posted after the you posted the last week's rant. If they go to your Twitter feed and look at your post of the last week's rant, after that I posted the an article that got brought out within a day or two after our rant to give us an idea of the actual numbers of completion basically we're tracking from the 260,000 dwellings that we should be building on a year to year basis, we're only tracking closer to 130,000-140,000. So there's a huge shortfall. And in that article, it's talking about 2024. There will be a further retraction of whatever is going to be built, from the beginning of the year to the end of this year. 24 is going to be a further retraction before things stabilize. So all that tells me is, builders, tradies, are just got dollar signs in their eyes because shit's going to cost a lot more to get done. And we also said that the costs are going to be increased because because the governments are absorbing a lot of the trades people that are out there, and so you're paying through that, and that's if they want to take on your job. That's another thing that people have got to consider. A typical renovation that would take anywhere between 6 to 12 weeks, it's gonna spread out. Your lifestyle is gonna be disrupted for good, a good 3 to 6 months potentially, if there's no disputes with the people doing the renovations whilst you're living in the property.
Sounds cozy to me. So we'll just move on to tips. So I got a couple of tips for the week before I get your final one, Edwin. The first one is that the Cairns flooding story is actually just worth reflecting on from a tip of the week point of view. We have seen significant instability in weather systems around the world. And so the prospects are, and here's a bit of video of what's happening up in the Cairns region at the moment with huge amounts of flooding, huge amounts of water. They've had earth-shattering amounts of rain, but this is just a further illustration of the instability of weather. So if you're thinking of buying property, it's really, really important to think about things like floods and fires and wind and whether it's actually certified for storms and those sorts of things, because this is going to become an ever more critical issue across Australia and more broadly. So that's my first tip of the week. The second tip of the week from me is that next week we're going to do a live show Christmas evening, and that'll be a fun, hopefully a fun conversation between Edwin and myself. So that's the second tip of the week. Mark out your Christmas evening for a bit of a festive rant. And Edwin, across to you for your tip of the week before we close.
A locomotive for the week, don't stop working at getting better mentally, health wise, focus on your nutrition, and relationships are going to be very important. Friendships, that group support is going to be very, very important in 2024, from what I'm seeing, and from I say nutrition because that leads to a lot of other issues. If we don't have a good nutrition, then obviously a good diet, then obviously we're going to also suffer mentally. We're going to need all the energy that we for 2024. Things aren't going to get unfortunately, from our perspective, things aren't going to get any better. They've got a break before they can be fixed. And that's just from my side of things that I feel that, and from what we're seeing from an economic point of view as well, and the people that we talk to, people that you meet along the traps, and for us, a lot of these conversations come from talking to colleagues in the industry, from our property management that have large property management portfolios, and the pain that they're going through as property managers because of all the greater issues that they've now having to deal with because of the hardships that a lot of people are facing out there, from mental issues to health issues to every other issue. So just keep working harder. Keep working hard at getting better and have a holistic life, a better holistic life. 2024 is my tip.
Yeah, very good advice, Edwin. And I think it's very important to, think broadly about those issues rather than just focusing on how much money can I make from this particular property, right? Different agenda. Looking forward to next week. You have my permission to wear a Christmas hat if you like, and get Dusty and Co. to wear Christmas hats. I must tell you, I won't be. And what we'll do is we'll do it at roughly the same time as our normal. So we'll make it live so people can ask questions and join in. So I look forward to that, and have a good week in the meantime, and hope we can fix the technology for next week so that we can actually do the show in a slightly more orchestrated way. But I don't think we did too badly, so I appreciate all your efforts today, Edwin, and we'll see you next week.
Oh, well, I've got a good coach. I've got a good coach. Thanks, man.
See ya. Take care.
Well, thanks, mate. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.